couple different places. Psalm chapter 1 is where we were last week. Psalm chapter 1 says in that passage, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We talked about that last week. Blessed is the person that doesn't walk in that kind of ungodly counsel. Well, when the Bible was written, I don't think there were movies. However, movies are definitely influential. And music is influential. And books. They had books back then. In fact, in the book of Acts, they had a book burning. Because there were some books that they knew were wrong. And I think there are movies and music that needs to be burned and tossed out and not sold at a garage sale because you don't want somebody else to have it, but just destroy that stuff and get rid of it. I do have a few Disney movies that I've liked over the years since I was a kid, but they are the old ones. And I will say, they're the old ones. I mean, other than the fact that it rips your heart out, I do kind of like Old Yeller. It's based on a true story, or not a true story, but a real book that was written about a dog. And I love to laugh at some of the comedy ones. I love Herbie, you know, the old Herbie, or Apple Dumpling Gang, or Hot Lead and Cold Feet. But he's right. There are a lot of Disneys that are witch and wizards and spirits. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, Cinderella. You think about there's a lot of Disney that has, and so you need to understand that there's a lot of that and influence in that. And if you think, haha, no big deal, look, it's getting worse and worse. It's way more in your face today than it was, 40 years ago. But I'm not here to talk about Disney so much tonight as it is to talk about the fact that we have a problem. See, I drive a school bus and I have to be fingerprinted and I have to have a background check before I'm allowed to drive a school bus because I'm around kids and I might influence them, okay? So I have to have a background check. However, the people who make this stuff don't have to have a background check. You think about that? I mean, and not only that, but you pay for it, you know? And so there's lots of influence in movies and television, and there's a whole lot of stuff that I saw as a younger person in my life, as a kid, that I didn't even let my kids watch because I decided, I don't think they need to watch that. And why is that? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 that evil communications corrupt good manners. Understand that you will be influenced by what you watch and what you are allow yourself to be around. And it says in there in verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." It's important that we understand that as parents and grandparents or whoever, that we're protecting our children. And I do know that the TV has become the number one babysitter in our world, the television. And it's a sad thing, but it's true. We got a puppy dog, I told you, last week. We got a German Shepherd puppy, and she's a really nice girl. I love to brag about her. Come see her sometime. But the owner said, they told us, she loves to watch TV. Well, that's going to be a problem, because we don't even want her to be in our house, let alone watch TV. Because we don't even have TV for her to watch on a regular basis. So, anyhow. If people are using TV for dogs, I know they're using it for their kids too. So be aware. I mean, if the bus driver has to have a background check, don't you think whatever's coming off that screen should have a background check? I'm glad. And this isn't the only guy that's done I saw some other Christian, a lady, a mother did a Christian review on this particular cartoon as well. You say, well, is it really that relevant to us? Well, I watched this on Monday. This guy talked about this on Monday, Spencer Smith, and then Tuesday morning I pulled up to my bus stop and opened the door, and there's certain kids were getting on, and one little girl got on, and she's always happy. She's one of my favorite kids on the bus, and she got on, and this is what she said. She got on and she said, "I'm a red panda." And I stared at her and I thought, oh my goodness. I just watched the review of that last night. She has no idea what she's saying, but obviously she's already watched it. We need to recognize as Christians the seriousness of what we're allowing our family and ourselves as adults. It might not be Red Panda, But there might be adults that have things that they are allowing into their lives through music and through movies and media and whatever that are just not good for you and certainly not good for your children. Understand the importance of evil communications and how it does corrupt good manners. It's not a joke. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And when you teach rebellion and you teach the idea of, well, I got to be me and it's my choice. Where do you think this my choice stuff comes from? And the idea that we it's my body, my choice, and on it goes. Rebellion is the sin of as the sin of witchcraft. Don't fool yourself. I was also driving the bus the same day, and I heard an older girl talking about how that she stayed up late and watched a horror movie with her mother about some twin that was evil twin was born inside and then grew up and then killed her siblings. And I'm just like, why are you watching this? Does not the Holy Spirit of God, if you're a Christian, I don't know, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God should say, you shouldn't watch that. But if the parent's not a Christian, they're not going to think that. And the child might think if the parent's watching, it's okay to watch. God is our Father, and He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we know better than to do those things. And you've been warned, because if you rebel against that and do your own thing, I'm telling you right now, there are things, and I guarantee I'm not the only adult in this room to say this, there are things that I have seen that I wish I could unsee. I never want to. There are things I've seen, there are things I've read, and I might have come across it innocently, but I'm telling you right now, they've burned a memory in my head that's taken years to get out of. The idea of familiar spirits is a big deal because you've heard me say this in Proverbs. It talks about the stranger and the strange woman. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 talks about the strange woman and the stranger. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about being familiar with the stranger and allowing the stranger to have influence in your life. See, the people who make stuff like this, they're strangers. You don't know these people, do you? You don't know any of the people that make that stuff. Isn't it kind of silly that we fingerprint the bus driver who all he does is say hello and open the door? He's not the teacher. He's just, and we have background checks for the bus driver who drives the bus because that's important. But then we don't check what's coming on the screen and what's coming in the music. Think about it. And the Bible says we ought to understand that there are people who should be strange to us. The strange woman. Proverbs talks about the strange woman and the stranger. And don't make a bet or a surety or an agreement with a stranger. Why? Because you don't know the stranger. And what's happened is we've become familiar with what should be strange. I've never seen anything. I've never seen a Chucky movie, but I know there are Chucky movies. I don't want to be familiar with that. I remember going into a home one time to get some kids for Anchor Club years ago, and there was something on the screen, and it was like, that was horrifying enough to me. And the world would call it probably PG, but it was disgusting. It showed this guy get his heart ripped out. I only saw just a few, and I was just like, I got to get out of here, you know. I'll be waiting for you in the porch. Hurry up. But I'm telling you that our families are messed up because we're allowing strangers right into the living room. How would you like it if you came home tonight and someone had piped your sewer back into your living room? And while you were gone, it was filling up. Well, that's what our TVs do. That's what Hollywood's doing. It's pumping sewage, and we need to recognize that and be aware of what's being taught, what's going on. There's labyrinths and circles that are drawn. I know a church here in Custer that used to have a labyrinth and a circle. That stuff is all witchcraft type stuff. Anyhow, I don't want to get off too much on this movie by itself because I'm not here to preach to you about Red Panda. But what I want to do is emphasize to you the importance of being aware of how that you and I are to be separate. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. My family is very familiar with Andy Griffith and Barney. But I'll tell you what, there's a couple episodes that we just said, we won't watch that one again. We're not against understanding and having some fun or some old comedy or whatever it might be. We found some Perry Masons and we watched those. But you know what I've what we've quickly learned about Perry Mason, it's all about murder or adultery or both. There's just so much that there's, after a while, the world can only do so much entertaining, and then they've got to go stoop to lower levels to keep it entertaining. Rarely, if ever, is the lead guy and the lead gal married, because that's boring in the world's eyes. But once upon a time, my kids aren't even familiar with some of these old, but once upon a time, there was old TV shows like Father Knows Best, you know, or some of the old ones like My Three Sons, you know, but there was just some old stuff that had a more decent appeal, but even then, you got to be careful. But the point is that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think it's important that we do a real close self-checkup as to what we allow into our homes, into our minds, into our ears, and into our eyes. And we need to understand that as a Christian, there's just some things that are light and dark. There's just some things that are separation issues where you're just going to have to say, you know what, we don't do that. We're just not going to go there and follow that. And I don't need to know that. Why? Because Satan wants to get an inroad, and I want to be aware of what he's trying to teach my kid and what he's even trying to get me wrapped up in. I remember years ago, in fact, I was going to get married, and so I was thinking about honeymoon, and of course I didn't have much money, but I was thinking, what do we do and where do we go? And then I got this postcard or I got this brochure or something, and it was this, this tropical, I think it was the Sandals or something like that. I don't remember what it was. The Sands, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, but there was this picture, and this woman was on there, and she was not dressed hardly at all, and in this beach scene. And the Holy Spirit of God said, if you think I'm in you going to a certain place, I promise you, I won't send you the advertisement with a bikini model on it. I just remember the Holy Spirit saying that to me. Trust me, if I want you to go there, I won't send it to you with that kind of an advertisement. I thought, thank you, Lord, that's good advice. So I'll just recognize that that's probably not him. We didn't go there. The point, though, is that God's not in. He doesn't do things for you. He doesn't do wrong in order to do right. He doesn't deliver you something good packaged in something bad and sinful. And remember what Samuel said to Saul, King Saul, when Saul decided to take things into his own hands. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. You've disobeyed and you've rebelled. It's as the sin of witchcraft. And you might think, well, come on, rebellion, that's just what all kids do. If you have that expectation, then that is what your kids will do. But if you'll nip it in the bud and teach them that rebellion is sinful, it's wicked, you're opening the door to Satan when you do that. You're opening the door. And even though you read in 1 Samuel 15, rebellion is as witchcraft, I'm sure King Saul thought, come on, I'm not into witchcraft. In fact, I made witchcraft illegal. You know, familiar spirits, wizards, witchcraft, that's what the Bible talks about altogether. Those things are evil. And Saul's like, I got rid of that stuff. But you know, by the end of that book of 1 Samuel, he's looking for a witch himself. He wants to find a woman with a familiar spirit, it says, and ask her to help him. And obviously then, Samuel's words came true. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We need to recognize it for what it is. Young people, I realize that some of you might not have a mom and dad who are always there to guide and correct you. But guess what? Neither do my kids. My kids' mom and dad aren't always there, aren't always watching, are always able to make sure they're doing the right thing. And if you're just going to say, well, my dad should have known better, my mom should have known better, it's not my fault. Listen, you still have to be your own person. In Daniel chapter 1, we sang Dare to Be a Daniel on purpose, because in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with what the king wanted him to do. Now you think about this. Daniel was a kidnapped kid in a strange country. His parents weren't even around. And so it wasn't like Daniel was waiting on mom and dad to make the decision. No, Daniel purposed in his own heart. So if you're with your unsaved parent, or your unsaved grandparent, or your unsaved friends, or whatever, and they want to do something, guess what you still can do? Purpose. And by the way, in Daniel's case, his purposing in his heart could have cost him his life. It didn't, because the book's longer than just the first chapter. No, Daniel purposes, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to defile myself with that. Years ago, I had a friend that said, hey, let's go over to so-and-so's house. And I was allowed to go to my friend's house, Kenny, because Kenny's family went to our church. So I was allowed to go over and play. But then Kenny had a friend who didn't go to our church, and we went over to his house across the way. And that friend had a grandpa who had magazines tucked away. I hadn't a clue what they're talking about. Listen to me. You need to be real careful of what you're seeing, what you're looking at. And mom and dad, you need to be careful about where your kids are and what's going on. And then warn them ahead of time. Look, if this situation arises, this is what you're going to do. If this happens, this is what we want. This is what we expect you to do. And to lay down some rules and some guidelines for them to follow so that they're not getting themselves into dangerous situations and trouble. Young people, there's nothing wrong with you purposing in your heart to do right. And don't you dare say, well, my parent did it, so it's okay. It doesn't matter. It might be that your parent is going to answer to God. In fact, they will. But I promise you, especially if you go to this church, you know better. And if it's your friend, you know better. And if it's just whatever, you know better. There's just no way you can have an excuse to not do the right thing. We all have opportunity and should. So in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. You have to purpose ahead of time. I love the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, 38, 39, Genesis 39. Joseph is propositioned by this lady, Potiphar's wife, this woman. And Joseph was pestered by her, and she was coming on to him and trying to get him to do wrong. And Joseph said in Genesis 39, how can I sin against God? I love that answer. He didn't say, well, I can't sin against my dad. He'll find out, because his dad ain't going to find out. He's in a foreign country too. He's kidnapped in a foreign country. He didn't say, well, I can't sin against Potiphar, your husband. He said the best answer. I can't sin against God. That's why I can't do this. And he got out, and of course it cost him too, because she made up a big lie and a big story about him. But you know what? In the end, just like Daniel, God rewarded Joseph. And Joseph didn't lose. Joseph won. When it comes to certain videos or certain books or certain whatever, organizations, might whatever, I want to know what this is about. I want to know what's, and not only that, but I want to ask God, what do you say, Lord? I don't watch this guy hardly ever. Just somebody I know shared it to me, and I watched it and said, whoa, that kind of goes along with what we've been talking about as families. See, you're not going to get to the marriage altar like we're going to talk about next week with our daughter unless you have some guidelines. You're not going to get there clean and pure and holy unless you have some guidelines and some understanding. And ultimately understanding that no matter what, even if the mom and dad don't know, God still knows. Titus chapter 2 says this. Besides parents, God gives us something even better when it comes to direction, and that is the Holy Spirit through the grace of God. And it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, what's teaching us? The grace of God. The more we know God and understand Him, and the more His Holy Spirit has access to run our lives. Verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. What caused Daniel to purpose in his heart? Somebody in the inside. I mean, Daniel didn't have a mom and dad standing there going, you better not, because Daniel's parents might have been dead. But Daniel purposed in his heart to do right. And it says that that God in His grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. It's just something we have to first help our children to know what is right. We're training a puppy right now. It's kind of a good thing for our family because as a family, we've never had a puppy. We've always had a dog, but this is the first time we've ever had just a couple months old puppy. And we're teaching it some things. And when we first got her, it was minus degrees outside. I mean, it was bitterly cold. So for the first few nights, we had her in a kennel in our entrance great room there. And I'm sure where she was at, she stayed indoors because she liked to watch TV. But then we moved her kennel out to the garage and get her, because we have a doggy door. Our last dog never used it. Last dog was just weird. But anyway, we have a doggy door. And so, she wanted her to understand, if you're cold, you can go in the garage. Garage doesn't freeze. It gets cold, but it doesn't freeze. And so we had her in the garage, and we had the wood stove going in the garage. And so we kept it warm. And now it's warming up, and it's pretty nice, and it's no big deal. But now, whenever we go in the door of the house, she wants to go in. Because, why? Because Hannah was petting her inside the house for a while. It's Hannah's fault. Hannah even let her go to the bathroom in there one time. Oh, her mom got after her for that one. See, puppies are cute, but you can't let puppies get used to something and then switch gears on them. It's hard for them to understand that. And so we've got puppy trying to get his nose in the door, and we're like, hey, hold it. I know some of you got dogs that run your whole house. I understand that. But at our house, we don't. And so we're like, no, you are not going in. And she's starting to get the message. And, of course, you don't want to whack her too hard, right? But you bop her on the nose or whatever. But she's starting to understand. But sometimes she still tries to pull a fast one. And she knows she's not supposed to be in there because she doesn't just come darting in. She kind of crawls in like she knows this is not probably good. They're not as dumb as they play. And mom and dad, the more we teach and train our children and ourselves that this is wrong. I need to watch my tongue should never say things. Oh, I hope I never say a bad word in church. How about I hope I never say a bad word? Hope I never just have the habit. A lot of times people, because I'm a pastor, and I've also worked side jobs a lot, sometimes people will say, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You're a pastor. And it's like, he watches everything. I'm just a pastor. But we need to recognize that the grace of God should teach us to deny ungodliness. I'm going to ask every age group in here, but especially our younger ones, are you just doing what you do because of who's around? Or is something inside teaching you to deny things and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? It goes on to say that we will be peculiar people in verse 14. And you will be. You don't watch certain things? Nope. You've never seen Friday the 13th? You've never seen Chucky? Or you've never seen the guy that runs around with a chainsaw and kills people? Nope. I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. As far as I know, based on what I've heard, don't need to. Won't be missing nothing. Oh, I love that stuff. Listen to me. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with you if you love that stuff. You reading about that kind of stuff? What is wrong with you? I love what somebody said years ago. I think it's a good question. Could you sit on the couch with Jesus and watch it? Let me ask it again. Could you sit with Jesus and watch it or read it or talk about it or even think about it? Guess what? Jesus is there. And with that, I got rid or decided never to have a lot of things in my home. And my family, my parents, they are the ones who had to really make the step because they were adults when they became Christians and real churchgoers and sold out to the Lord. And so they were adults. And all of a sudden they're saying to our family members, our extended family, "Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, we don't go there. Yeah, no. Peculiar, different, weird." But you know what? Over time, and by the way, it should not be Pastor Matt that tells you what you should or shouldn't do. It should be the Holy Spirit that he tells you. It should be obvious. It should be, and you might say, "Well, I never thought of that before, but now that Pastor's brought it up, it really makes..." But the point is that it's not me dictating it to you. It's you knowing that's what God wants. And then, so there's this stuff that started getting thrown out of my parents' lives. So I had a head start. And even now, there are things that say to my kids, there are a few John Wayne movies that I like. But there are some I do not recommend. There are some I just and I don't want to start naming different ones, but I'm just saying there are certain videos or certain whatever that I just, you know what? That's lousy. The insinuation, sometimes the acting was terrible, or the whole storyline was dumb. But the point is that there's, just because I might be familiar with some things, I don't need to be familiar with everything. Someone was asking me about demon possession. America hasn't seen a lot of it because America, like no other nation on earth, is more of a Christian heritage or Christian beginning than most nations. But if we have this kind of red panda stuff, if we have this kind of stuff, our children are being exposed. I mean, just in one trip on my short school bus route to school this week, I heard someone talking about Red Panda, and I heard someone talking about some horror movie where this kid's killing people. And in just in one short trip, I heard different kids in different ages talking about stuff. I heard last week a boy telling a bad story, a dirty joke type story. Young boy. And I'm telling you, it ought to break our heart, it ought to grieve us, what our generation and what people in this country, there is demon possession in this country because we're exposed to it. We're exposing our children to it. We're opening the doors to it. How do I know? Because the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And pharmacia, which is drugs, is translated sorcery in Revelation. And we've got plenty of that going on. Be careful what's in your home. Do you know where your kids are, and do you know what they're doing, and do you know what they're watching, and do you know where they are? I think you've heard me say it before. My kids didn't do a lot of sleepovers because we weren't sure where they would be or what they would be exposed to in every situation. Maybe it was a Christian family, but they were a young Christian family, and we weren't sure what they had in their home. And you might even offend people when you say, "No, we just don't allow our kids to stay overnight at somebody else's house." That might be offensive, but that's your right to say that. And you might be overboard, but it'd be better than for them to be exposed. Because I'm a testimony to being exposed to stuff I should have never seen, based on a situation I didn't even know about at the time. And once it happened, it was too late to go backwards. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware of this wicked world. it's just grinding my teeth how some things are perfectly okay in our society. If you don't know, Disney is one of the biggest promoters of homosexual stuff in the world today. I mean, they are major into it. Disney owns ABC. Disney owns lots of stuff. They are huge promoters of it. Probably at the very top, they're involved, and that's why they're into this. Remember on Sunday night I showed you that guy who said, not that God in the sky, but our own intelligent design. I went home and watched the entire half-hour speech. He's a homo. There's just wicked agendas. Even Lion King had wicked agendas behind it. If you want to know the history behind that. There's just lots of stuff that, and I'm not saying because you watch that you're evil. I'm just saying you need to be aware of influences that this world has and what Satan wants to use. Satan didn't stop in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, well, I tricked Eve. I'll never trick anybody else again. Oh, are you kidding? No, he's been fooling lots of people, including us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our time together tonight. It was a warning. It was a wake-up call. It's a reminder that we need to be very sober. We might be called square. We might be made fun of. That's okay. You said we would be peculiar, but we need to be sober about what is right and what's defiling and what's not going to keep us separate and what's going to make us unclean. Help us to also understand why these kids act the way they do. They're filled with this stuff. The television is their babysitter. They don't have Christian parents, a lot of them that come here, and their whole influence is just beyond our comprehension. Help us to be patient and understanding with some of their issues because of it, but help us as our own families and our own individual lives to just stand up and be separated. For these young ladies and young men in here to realize the importance of not allowing the world to dictate what we think and how we act and what we are influenced by. Help us to be wise in what we do and walk circumspectly, we ask in Jesus' name.